It was a feature peculiar to the colonial wars of North America that the toils and dangers of the wilderness were to be encountered before the adverse hosts could meet. A wide and apparently an impervious boundary of forests severed the possessions of the hostile provinces of France and England. The hardy colonist and the trained European who fought at his side frequently expended months in struggling against the rapids of streams or in effecting the rugged passes of the mountain, in quest of an opportunity to exhibit their courage in a more martial conflict. Perhaps no district can furnish a livelier picture of the cruelty and fierceness of the savage warfare of those periods than the country which lies between the headwaters of the Hudson and the adjacent lakes. The following incidents happened during the third year of the war which England and France last waged for the possession of a country that neither was destined to retain. The alarmed colonists believed that the yells of the savages mingled with every fitful gust of wind that issued from the interminable forests of the West. Numberless recent massacres were still vivid in their recollections. When, therefore, intelligence was received at Fort Edward, the fort which covered the southern termination of the portage between the Hudson and the lakes, that Montcalm, the French leader, had been seen moving up the Champlain with an army numerous as the leaves on the trees, its truth was admitted with more of the craven reluctance of fear than with the stern joy that a warrior should feel in finding an enemy within reach of his blow. The news had been brought toward the decline of a day in midsummer by an Indian runner who also bore an urgent request from Monroe, the commander of Fort William Henry, on the shore of the lake known to the natives as the Hurricane, for a speedy and powerful reinforcement. The distance between these two posts was less than 5 leagues. The rude path, which originally formed their line of communication, had been widened for the passage of wagons, so that the distance which had been traveled by the son of the forest in 2 hours might easily be effected by a detachment of troops with their necessary baggage between the rising and setting of a summer sun. The veteran Scotchman, Monroe, held Fort William Henry with a regiment of regulars and a few provincials, a force really by far too small to make head against the formidable power that Montcalm was leading to the foot of his earthen mounds. General Webb, who commanded the armies of the king in the northern provinces, held Fort Edward with a body of more than 5,000 men. By uniting the several detachments of his command, this officer might have arrayed nearly double that number of combatants against the enterprising Frenchman who had ventured so far from his reinforcements with an army but little superior in numbers. But under the influence of their degraded fortunes, both officers and men appeared better disposed to await the approach of their formidable antagonists within their works than to resist the progress of their march by emulating the successful example of the French at Fort Duquesne and striking a blow on their advance. After the first surprise of the intelligence at Fort Edward had a little abated, a rumor was spread through the entrenched camp, which stretched along the margin of the Hudson, forming a chain of outworks to the body of the fort itself, that a chosen detachment of 1,500 men was to depart with the dawn for William Henry, the post at the northern extremity of the portage. That which at first was only rumor soon became certainty, as orders passed from the quarters of the commander-in-chief to the several corps he had selected for this service to prepare for their speedy departure. At a respectful distance from this unusual show were gathered diverse groups of curious idlers. There was one man, however, who, by his countenance and actions, formed a marked exception to the other spectators. He had all the bones and joints of other men, without any of their proportions. Erect, his stature surpassed that of his fellows. Though seated, he appeared reduced within the ordinary limits of the race. His head was